Well, welcome back to series. I think we're on series 12, series 13. I've lost count myself now. But we're back. And of course, we're going to go back to the beginning because we're going to change of our name this year. We're going to be called non-league roundup show as we started. Hopefully, we're going to get Paul back and Keith's having issues connecting tonight as well. I don't know if there's an internet issue somewhere or all over the place, but everybody seems to be suffering tonight. But as you can see, we're back again. Ali, unfortunately, can't be with us tonight. She's doing a bit of extra work this week because she's going for another one of her super courses down at St. George's Park at the end of the week. So she'll hopefully be joining us next week. But joining, hopefully, me and Keith, here he is again. We'll see if we can get him on. Of course, is two victorious managers on week number one. And of course, Merthyr Town manager, Paul Michael. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, UK.
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. And of course, winning Hendon manager as well, 3-1 over Sholin. Of course, Lee, and great results for you, first up of the season. I mean, it's got to be a good thing, isn't it? Going into the first game of the season and winning them. I'll start with Paul.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're always much more relaxed on a Monday after 3 points. Last season, we didn't win for the first couple. So, yeah, it doesn't matter how it comes. You just buzz in that first one, whether it's excited game and it's crazy or whether it's sometimes cagey. It's always a strange game, the first game. So to come out with 3 points is the be-all and end-all, really.
Mr. Chairman there, was he? Or was he not at your ground?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He was down to see. So he didn't see that many wins last season. So hopefully we can change that this year. So, yeah, it was good to see Ant. He was looking really well. And he puts a smile on everybody's face. He's so charming to speak to and to chat to. So that was good to see him on the weekend as well.
And Lee, great win for you. And of course, the old man with you now as well. Great win, 3-1.
Yeah, it was. You know, as I say, Paul had a couple last year. We had six that we didn't win. So that was a 4 weeks of sleepless nights. So just to get that first win on the board and the 3 points was really important. And the performance was really good. As I say, you know, when you've got to go to Paul on Saturday, it was important that we got them points. And you can go there now relaxed and know that we've got a bit of a free hit.
How relaxed, though, after their result of the weekend?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Paul will tell you, for me, they're one of the favourites this year for the league title. Very good side, front to a handful. I think they're going to take some stopping personally. But as I say, we'll go there and, as I say, we can be relaxed. You know, when you've got them first 3 points, you're not so edgy. There's no pressure on us to go to Paul and get a victory. We can go and have a good game and have a good go at them. That's what we're going to try and do. But as I say, just getting the 3 points on Saturday was so important for us, just to get the cobwebs of last year out of the way and hopefully it will give us a better season.
Hmm. Meep, are you there? No, I don't think he's still there. But so I mean, the weekend then, I mean, you know, besides your two games, I mean, what were the sort of games or the shocks that you saw there? Because I mean, I saw some very wet pitches and I dare say I'm going to see some very wet cameras when VO machines and God knows what else when I start looking at the goals tomorrow. But I mean, going through some of them in your division, I mean, Didcot newly promoted, they lose 1-0 to Hayes in Yedding, Gosport 2-0 against Bracknell, Hanwell and Chesham, that was abandoned. That's unusual considering that, you know, Hanwell is probably one of the best grass pitches around, I would have said, and you know, present company excluded. I know you don't play on grass, Lee, but I mean, but it, you know, on that side of it, I mean, Harrowborough 1, AFC Totten 2, Hungerford 7, Plymouth Parkway 0. That was a massive shock for me because didn't see that result coming.
Yeah, I'll jump in there then. I wouldn't have seen that one coming either, really. Plymouth finished the season really well last year and done well with their recruitment in the summer, so I don't think, but it is obvious that Hungerford have recruited well, and obviously they had a really good day. I think sometimes strange things can happen on the first day of the season. Out of those results, I think, like I'll touch on what Lee said there, I think Poole are going to be one of the favourites for the league. Like they were going really well at the end of last season, retained everyone, added to it. Certainly when we played them down there, we thought they were very strong, you know, once Tony Lee had gone back there as well. So I think they're going to be, they're going to take some stopping and out of show on the first day of the season. I think I'm a little bit further away from it than you guys, but not sure if Bracknell's squad has changed much over the summer, but that's obviously another, maybe that one would have been a surprise, I would suggest, looking at last season. And I don't really know what's gone on, what's happened at Gosport and stuff like that. So that one I would say has been a bit of a surprise, but yeah, anything can happen on the first day of the season, can't it? So just glad that we got points and got out of there, you know.
I mean, go through the other Salisbury one, Beaconsfield one, the one, you know, not many people are going to do this to Swindon Supermarine. I wouldn't have thought lose, you know, they lost 7-2 at home to Poole, as we just said. Tiverton 2-2 against Basingstoke, and then Winchester City winning, and then the game gets called off against Walton and Hersham. Central Division, New Boys Sudbury 1-1 against Barwell. Telford 3-0 against Royston. Birkhamsted New Boys again, beating Nuneaton Borough 2-1. Bromsgrove Sporting 1, Redditch 2, Halzowing 2, Leeston 1, Hitchin 2, Alberchurch 0, Leamington 2, Longeaton United 1, St Ives 0, Michelover 2, Stanford 3, Kettering 2, which was Andy Leesey's first game, 2-1 up, and end up losing that by 3-2. The other surprise, I suppose, in that division, Stourbridge 4, Colville Town 2, and Stratford Town 6, Needham Market 1. just games that just, you wouldn't expect Colville to be losing sort of 4-2 on the opening game of the season, you know, missing out, what was it, by 2 goals last year from, you know, going up into step two. But I mean, looking at your two games, I mean, who's next up for Murphy? Paul next up for Lee. I'm just having a quick look. Beaconsfield Town. I mean, fancy your chances up there? I mean, they got a point at Salisbury at the weekend.
Yeah, we've done well there in the past, but obviously things changed there last season with John going there, and they seem to have recruited well over the summer. So I would have tipped them to be one of the teams really trying to push on from that. You know, we were both in a very similar position last season. We were both just inside our top half, and I'd have expected them to be kind of looking up towards the playoffs. So I think it's going to be, that'll be a tough game. We've done a little bit of homework on them, and we'll see if we can plan some in this week. Because if we can make it 2-2, or if we can get a positive result away from home, then we're coming back home on a Tuesday, and that, you know, we could potentially make it a great start to the season. So now we'll prepare as best we can, but I think it's going to be a tough game. Like I said, they seem to have recruited like really well over the summer, and we'll see how it goes.
So, I mean, if we start with you, Paul, before we jump in with Lee, I mean, With Murphy, I mean, how many, you know, much change from last season?
No, not a lot of change for us. So last season, we feel like we're in a much better place than last season. You never really know, do you? And you never really know how everybody, and that's the thing about the results on the opening day of the season. You don't really know. Somebody who struggled last season could do very, very well. Somebody who did well could have lost a few, or things could change, and they could have a very different season at this level. Things change so quickly, and one summer's a long time in football at this level. So we think we're in a better position, but because we've managed to retain the players that did so well for us last season, you know, there's a core of players who did particularly well that we managed to keep. And then we've added mostly youngsters around that, to be honest. And our biggest thing is going to be trying to keep the players that we kept that maybe weren't fit as often last season, trying to keep them fit and them have a bigger impact on our season. And if we do that, then we're confident that we can progress on last season. So how much remains to be seen, but yeah, the aim for us, we've managed to keep the vast, vast majority of our players. And therefore, like where it was completely new last summer, now it's something that we know what we're going into. We know what's expected of each other, and we feel like we're in a much better place. Although Saturday was a bit disjointed and the last week or so has been, but yeah, overall I think we're in a better place than last season. So, you know, we're looking to try and get a positive result in every game and not really put a limit on what we could achieve.
Is it easier for somebody like yourself rather than maybe for Lee to sort of keep those sort of players because of you sort of being, you know, in sort of just inside Wales there? And of course you haven't necessarily like Lee where he's got probably about, I don't know,
1,000 clubs
10, after. Yeah, maybe 10 clubs or whatever, all after these players.
And appreciate the position he's in with other clubs then having less travelling and that are just a few miles down the road. I imagine that's difficult in terms of recruitment. One thing we've got that other clubs might not realise is that the Welsh Premier League, Cymru Premier, is developing all the time, particularly in terms of infrastructure and finance. And we're up against, really, we're up against a few clubs now in South Wales. Barry got promoted into that league. Pontypridd are relatively local to us. Pennebon got into Europe. So they're funding, Haverford West got into Europe, another South Wales team. So their funding is actually, there's a very small pool of players really in South Wales. And a lot of those are already tied up on like long contracts. And the biggest thing for us therefore was kind of trying to ward those clubs off, a couple of players that we really needed to keep. And we managed to do that. But yeah, it's becoming more and more difficult. And we end up, we've recruited, you know, we've got Cheltenham Car School, we've got a couple from Bristol as well. So that, you know, because we go through Bristol, that kind of helps us. And then we've got a couple from Swansea, a couple from Cardiff. So, we do have our own recruitment challenges as well. Like the money in there and the contracts in there, in that Cymru Premier, to be honest, is, but sometimes it becomes a bit of a false economy with people competing against for the same type of player and the small player pool. And that's what we're up against, I guess. But I'm obviously really pleased that we kept, you know, the likes of Ricardo, who scored 2 on it on the first day of the season, was huge for us.
I mean, how difficult is that for, say, then for Murphy, you know, playing in a sort of, you know, in the Southern Premier League South? And you look at the other sides that are quite, you know, that are around you. And let's be honest, Merthyr is, you know, as Anthony always tells me, he's a big club in Wales. So how is it you have found yourself still in the sort of Southern League Prem's South and not, you know, with the likes of TNS and Barry and the rest?
I think that's down to the supporters, a supporter-owned club, and that's where they want to be. They've got a long history of being in the Southern League and being in the Vauxhall Conference, you know, a number of years ago, and playing in that pyramid. And there's a pride in still being in there. And with Wrexham getting promoted, now the only Welsh non-league club in that pyramid, in that system, there's going to be more and more pressure over the next couple of years, I feel. Because Merthyr is a big club. You look at our gate, we think we were top in our league on the weekend, just over 700. And I think, the Cymru Premier is developing as well. And I'm not, some people will fight their corner and some people from the Cymru Premier will try and say, you know, our league's no good and it's not the right level. And then you'll get people who say, no, it's Merthyr's level's better and all that. You know, there's lots of boys who've played both, who've left Merthyr, got, and that's a developing standard as well, to be fair. So, you know, there's no reason why Merthyr can't be successful in the English pyramid if that's where the club wants to stay. And Welsh clubs improve and do better in Europe. And like, there's no reason, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. You know, they can both, I think that for this, the best thing for Welsh football, there's no reason why everybody can't be successful and do well. But at the moment, certainly the clubs, from my understanding, is the club's desire and supporters' desire certainly is to stay in the pyramid that we're in and try and progress there and try and get into the National League, you know. So, yeah, they enjoy that kind of unique selling point, and that's where we're at as a club.
And, of course, Mr. Chairman won't let you go anyway, will he?
No, and that's it. Exactly.
You're stuck. You ain't getting away. Yeah. But I mean, what sort of, how's your pre-season gone? I mean, for people that don't know, I mean, were you happy with your pre-season and how it went? And, you know, how many games did you have? And I mean, tell us a little bit about your pre-season and whether or not you felt that, you know, maybe you was going to have a bit of a struggle this season, whether you thought you was going to do really well this season. I mean, you know, from that sort of pre-season.
Yeah, pre-season's a strange time, isn't it? Like, for a few weeks, I thought things were going really well. But you've got players in and out because you're trying to get your holidays, trying to get the boys to get their holidays done. Like, I'm a teacher, so as soon as school term finished there in the last week of July, I went away for a week and missed two of our last fixtures. And then we started really well. Obviously, the recruitment was done well before, really. There's a few who've come in later through pre-season, but generally were already training with us and already with us. So the recruitment was done. But then with players missing sessions, you know, you don't get a lot of time out on the training pitch for the players. So what we found is when players missed a session or missed a couple of sessions, and then you're in a game block where you play like Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday for minutes to try and get everyone fit. Then all of a sudden players are coming in who've missed those sessions, and then they're not quite doing what you want them to do, and everything's going a little bit awry. And so we started really well pre-season. And then towards the end, the last week, like I was away and we actually split the squad. A couple of the boys, we were listening to the players, and a couple of the boys were a little bit concerned about the number of times they played 90 minutes going into the last week. So we were due to play Penavant of the Cymru Premier, who qualified for Europe on the last Saturday before the season. And we were offered the opportunity to play against Swansea City 23s as well on the same day. So we actually then took it. That meant our squad was pretty thin, but we beat Swansea City 23s, and then we got absolutely annihilated at Penavant, and all of that was on holiday. So we always got the minutes, but it just took a little bit of the momentum out of what we were doing really into the season, a little bit of that confidence. So I'd say it's the recruitment part of pre-season has gone really well. I'm really pleased with what we've got. In every position, we've got competition, and it's up to the boys to kind of take that opportunity when it presents itself. And we're just not quite where I want us to be in performance, but that's not gonna come overnight after 6 weeks in non-league part-time football, you know. So still a little bit, you know, lots to work on this week, and hopefully we can just keep improving week by week.
And of course, just joined us. Welcome, Keith. How are we, mate? Suntown looks good.
Getting a bit stressed. It would do, Dave. Lots of walking.
How is the injury? Are we getting better?
Yeah, no, I'm walking around fine now, thank you. So it's not 100%. I won't be doing any running London marathons for the next 10 years or so. But it's okay. No, a lot of hard work. It's paying off.
Happy days. I mean, Paul, I mean, with that, we've just had about pre-season. As a manager, and I mean, there's three managers now, you know, here. I'd be very interested to know, because I've heard Gavin say the same thing in interviews. I've heard Danny Chapman say it in interviews. I've heard other managers say it in different interviews. That they feel they haven't got enough time with the players on the training pitch. So how is that difficult when you're trying to get a match fit, you're trying to get that sort of formations and et cetera, in training? So how hard is that when you've only got them sort of twice a week, and then one of those dates is then taken up because either yourself or the secretary then booked, as you just said, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. Do you not start getting that sort of formation sort of settled until almost the league season starts, when you're playing maybe the first couple of weeks, Saturday, 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 Saturday?
Yeah, we did try and delay our games, to be honest. We had five sessions before we played our first pre-season friendly. And this is what I mean by it being a little bit disjointed, in that we then started really, really well in the first couple of games, and everybody kind of knew what they were doing. But then you had a few boys who'd missed those sessions, who then came back in, who were perhaps some of the better players, you know, you'd perceive them to be the better players as well. Certainly on last season and previous performance. So then they come in, and then they don't quite know the way that the other boys are sticking to the structure. And then, yeah, so now it came then to the last couple of weeks, we were then trying to just go back over the stuff that we did at the start, to be honest. It's nigh on impossible, really, to get, you know, the boys in often enough for, you know, we don't pay during pre-season. So you've got to balance that as well in terms of the amount of time that people are spending and traveling and all that. And so we try and put a schedule together that has enough games and has enough sessions for us to get across the messages that we want. But that's going to keep having to keep evolving now into the season, because there's no way it can be done in that period of time, really. You can't give people enough minutes and get enough detail and practice on the training pitch as you want, you know.
Lee, is that the same with you?
Yeah, I think Paul's spot on. You know, you don't want to come back too early. For me personally, I think, you know, coming back too early becomes boring for the players. I think when we come back in, I think it was the 29th of June, we had four or five sessions and we're into games. And the problem you've got there is you can't really work on too much shape, because you've probably only got an hour and a half, 2 hours training session. You need to get fitness into the boys. You then go into games and it is very disjointed, you know, and when you get your Thursday night sessions again, it's one of them that you need to keep the fitness up, you work on your shape, but at the same time you know the first time we worked on set pieces was last week, because I didn't want to show our hand to to opposition. If Sholin were coming to watch us the week before in our last pre-season game, so we worked on set pieces on Tuesday and Thursday. And I have to say, our set pieces on Saturday were woeful because we probably didn't have enough time on them. So again, it's, you know, working on them tomorrow, working on them Thursday, and getting good minutes into the boys. You know, have we underplayed some players? Possibly. Have we overplayed others? Possibly. You know, I lost my centre half against Billericay, so we had to bring one in on Thursday. First time we met the players was Thursday night. He played for us on Saturday and played ever so well. But it's tough, you know. It's trying to get that balance of games and training sessions. I prefer games personally because I don't think anything can replicate minutes into the legs. I think when you train, you know, you're not going to be as sharp. And even Saturday, Paul will probably say the same here, that it's intense. You know, the game is hard. It's nothing like a pre-season game. You know, it was end-to-end. It was intense. It was hard work. And it was players blowing early, you know, and that's what happens because pre-season, you have loads of the ball. It's, you know, no big challenges flying around. Yeah, you work on your pressing and your shape, but it doesn't replicate league games. And you only, for me now, probably 5, 6, 7 games in is when you'll really start to see the shape of your side, really start to work and the fitness levels of the players. And, you know, I took one or two boys off on Saturday who were tired. They'd be struggling after 70, 80 minutes. But, you know, is that me? Is that not enough minutes? But at the same time, you've got to have a healthy enough squad that everyone's fit enough to go Saturday, and then, you know, Paul, and then we go Beaconsfield next Tuesday, and we've got to be ready for a real hard next week. I think we've got Paul, Beaconsfield, Salisbury, and then we go Plymouth, Harrow. So we've got a tough run in, and I need to make sure that our 17, 18 boys that we've got are all fit and ready. So, yeah, it is a little bit messy. I don't ideally like it season. But you know, you have to do it and you have to get through it, and hopefully we can improve on our set pieces because they were nowhere near the level on Saturday.
Peter, was it the same thing with you, mate, when it was pre-season for yourself?
Yeah, it was. It's very similar to what the two lads just said. It's quite interesting because I put a bit of a time bomb on Twitter the other day about why some clubs are announcing 4 signings the week before the season starting, and some of my DMs went absolute nuts. But it's good that both of them said that they've had 4 or 5 sessions before they had a game, because I know quite a few clubs, especially down my way, that went back last week of June, had their first pre-season either the first or nearly the second week of July, played Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and had, I think, one or two training sessions before the season started, which is, and wondering why they've had injuries or their pre-season has been crap. But I think it is really, I think it's maybe a bit experience of the players you've got or the ones you know, how much work you need to put into them. Lee's quite right. Game time is the most. But I think with pre-season, you can have too much game time. And sometimes you're coming up to your second to last pre-season thinking, I've not got enough players here. Some of them are injured. Some of them are tired. And it's I don't think many managers like pre-season in the games because you don't get a huge amount out of them. Because I watched 3 pre-seasons this year, and every team that I've watched keep the ball unbelievable. Oh, they're like Brazil. And then I went and watched a couple of games, and they've not even kept the ball for 5 passes. They've just smashed it. So it's a tough one.
I mean, I know you said that. I mean, like Enfield Town started their sort of pre-season late, to be honest, compared to other sides. But, you know, they're now sort of short of about 5, 6 players going into the first game of the season against Concord at the, you know, at the weekend. They've even had the goalkeeper slipped on the grass on Saturday, and it, possibly he could well be out, their first team keeper. So he could well be out as well from an injury. Others on holiday and everything else like that. So I think they're going to be about 5 or 6 short on Saturday as well. So I think it does, you know, get to that sort of stage, doesn't it, with holidays and illness. But you're 3 very experienced managers. How much does it tick you off when you get somebody tell you they're going on holiday the week before the season starts, or maybe the first 2 games of the season? Does it really tick you off, or you just take it and say, yeah, okay, fair enough, everybody's got to have on holiday?
Yeah, I'll jump in there. I think, like, we're not professionals, and like, I'm a teacher. So, for example, I had to miss the last week. Like, I've got a young family. There's no way I wasn't you know, I could not go with them, you know. And then my assist, so I go that week, and then my assistant's now going to miss Beaconsfield because he's away Sunday to Sunday this week because we're both teachers, and that's, you know, that's the nature of what we do. Like, we've got our families get a 1 week window between school ending and the season starting as to when they can go on holiday. So we already miss out on enough. And of course, if boys are flexible and they're able to take their holidays outside the football season, then they've got to do that. Sometimes there's one of our goalkeepers got married last week, so he's on his honeymoon now, and I think at this level of football, that's just the nature of it, and there's got to be that little bit of understanding. If boys are going away to Ibiza for 2 weeks and then going on a stag a couple of weeks later and then going away again with a missus a few weeks after that, then obviously they're not going to be in the team. But you know, that, and they do get cases of that, absolutely. But generally, if you've got a good group of boys, and then they'll try and do it as best they can, and I think you've got to have a little bit of understanding of the level of where we're at, as to sometimes people have to miss, you know, for whatever reason. That's my perspective on it anyway.
I can't believe you didn't pull him in the office and say, what's more important, Dorchester at home or you getting married?
Exactly. Marrying the love of your life and going on the best old days ever in your life. I say, what are you doing? You need to stay. You've been playing well pre-season. So,
Luke, how about yourself?
No, listen, I echo what Paul says there. You know, players have to have a holiday, management team have to have a holiday. I'm fortunate that, you know, I do go away in June, but my assistant manager went away at the start of pre-season because that's when he had his holiday. You know, my players and Nico Muir, one of them has probably had about 17 holidays between pre-season and now. But Nico's one of them players that needs to play for 3 points. You know, everyone's different. As long as the boys look after themselves, you know, you can't stop holidays. You know, we've got one boy, believe it or not, Erin Canali. We can't get him international clearance at the moment from Turkey. So he's actually flown out to Turkey today to try and get it sorted. But I'm not sure if he's gone on holiday or he's actually gone to try and get this sorted. I've got to work this one out. So we'll see if he's due home on Friday or if he's staying out there for a couple of weeks. We'll soon find out. But no, I mean, listen, you've got to be flexible with these players. They give up so much of their time, you know, and they are part-time players. And yeah, we do give them money, but I'm sure Paul's the same. It's not bundles and bundles we give them for the time they give up. You know, we're leaving at 9:30 on Saturday. I'm sure Paul's leaving at a similar time to get to Beaconsfield. It's hard work for these boys. So you've got to be a little bit lenient with them. And and I'm sure they'll repay you back. And if not, someone else will sign them. So, you know, it's just one of them. As long as they're not taking liberties, you've got to allow it.
One other question. Someone's just
fired. Dave, I've just got to come in there because obviously the pre-season, the holiday thing, the way I looked at it, the Paul made a really good statement because the school teachers, there is, you know, a lot of the players are either coaches or school teachers and you have to do that. But the married thing, I think they're stupid getting married, so they shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to go on the stag do, though. I've got to be honest, if they're saying they're going on the stag do and they've not invited me, then there is a big issue. So I should be going on the stag do to Ibiza. So we would postpone training or say we're going on a summer camp. I think that's really important that they take you with you, so you know what they're doing and what they're eating and drinking and if it's suitable. But I think as managers, I think the main thing that gets if they let you know the week before, that's the thing. If you know, if you've got the players when you're signing, and most managers nowadays go to them, when are you away? But you do, and I think you do get the odd surprise from someone going, oh, my missus has just booked me a surprise holiday away the week before your pre-season is. So they're the ones that do get you. But apart from that, if they've not invited you to go with them for the good stag do, then they shouldn't come back.
So I'll take it from your first comment that either Vicky's not in the house or she's not listening.
Dave, I'm locked in the office, so it doesn't matter. But you do know I'm going away in 2 weeks, don't you?
See what's going on here? What's this all about? Hey. But I mean, with it though, I mean, someone's just sent in a question, in all fairness, and be interesting to see the different points of views from the different sort of areas of the country that all you guys are in. And it's James Carpenter, you know, a regular listener, and he's put on it, He's basically talking about a surprise move and what was the most significant signing of the summer. And he reckons that the most significant signing of the summer in non-league is in the Isthmian League, and it's the transfer of Joe Taylor from Lewis to Ramsgate. Do we agree? Or is there something bigger? Keith, I mean, your sort of area.
When I see it, I was like, wow, because also Roman Lippard leaving Ramsgate to go to Sevenoaks. I was a little bit surprised as well. I was surprised he even went to Ramsgate last year, because I know Rowan, he played for me. He's a great player as well.
Yeah, just interrupting you, would you be surprised that Rowan didn't go back to Chesson?
Or go and play at least step three, because I think he's good enough. But the Joe Taylor one, especially because he's been with Tony at Lewis and then at Cray for quite a while, so that did shock me. And then when I see it as well, he's dropped down, but that's a massive, massive signing for Ramsgate to get someone of that quality. As the two lads know, centre forwards are like gold dust and cost you an absolute arm and a leg nowadays, and maybe half your body. But to get someone of that quality is massive.
Paul, your sort of biggest surprises so far?
Yeah, I try not to take any notice of the Isthmian League whatsoever all the way down here, to be honest. But I was just pleased to see the two top goal scorers from the league leave, to be honest. Who's their top goal scorer and Harry Williams go to Gloucester. I think that was great news, to be honest.
Lee?
No, I think, like Paul says there, I think Moses Emmanuel going to Billericay, for us in the league, he's...
Top goal scorer last two years.
35 goals a season. Very difficult for Hayes to replace. I speak to Richie a lot, so I know they're on the lookout to replace. But he's very good. It's a great signing for Billericay. We played Billericay two weeks ago. They're going to be right in there or abouts in the Isthmian League. And actually, to be honest, I think the Isthmian League this year, the Central and the Southern Prem, is as hard as it's ever been. All three leagues are very, very tough. A lot of money floating around. I heard a rumour today that, a couple of clubs in our league of some of the money that's being spent is massive. And fair play to them if they've got it. I wouldn't mind having it. I'm sure Paul wouldn't either, because, it brings some good players. But there's some big sides in it this year in all three leagues. And I certainly think there's going to be a lot of excitement floating around.
Tell you what, Dave, another one is Conor Essendon leaving Dartford to go and play with down at Faversham, who's now dropped into step five. That's quite a massive signing.
I mean, one of the things we should say as well, there's one team out there that have always sort of been on the sort of, how can we put it, the lower ends of the table, and I hope they don't mind me saying that, but started off the season fantastic this year, and I want to bring them up for a certain reason. And that's Step 5. I know we're just sneaking into other people's territory, but Step 5, Essex Senior League, 2 wins out of 2, FA Cup win as well for Romford, which is a fantastic start for them. And I think Keith will echo what I'm about to say. We send all our very, very best wishes to the chairman there, Steve Gardner, who has been, unwell. I've managed to contact him today and found out that he has been in remission, which is great. But we're sending him all the very, very best and all the best to Romford. And hopefully they'll come back and join us in Step 4 very, very quickly, very, very shortly. With everything that's going on now, Lee, what was your pre-season like?
As I say, it was it was good. We played quite a few lower teams to start with. I brought in a lot of players this year that are young. I felt that confidence was really important. We have tried to change the style of our play, and I'm not just saying this because Paul's on the other end of the call, but his side play fantastic football. I thought Harrow last year, although they got relegated, tried to play good football. There was 3 or 4 sides in our league last year. Beaconsfield were young, very good football inside, and that's how we wanted to be. Last year we had no legs, we had no energy, and we didn't play any football. And I had to change that very quickly. So I felt playing lower opposition early was important. And then we went and played Billericay on a Monday night, which I felt we were outstanding. It was like a league game, and we drew 0-0, and I was really pleased with that performance. And then We judged 2-2 with St Ives last Saturday, and I thought we were poor, to be honest. You know, but the reports back from the opposition, they felt that we were good, but I think for the standard we'd set, we've got to be careful when to play and when not to play, you know, because it does lure you into a full sense of security in pre-season at times. I think we were saying earlier about, you know, you can overplay in pre-season, you get to the first league game and then you just start smashing it long. We don't want to be like that. We do want to try and play. And I thought we replicated it really well on Saturday in our first game. And as I said to you, it's very difficult because pre-season is not like the first league game of the season. It's not like the second or the third. You know, it's very, very different. There's going to be occasions where you can play and there's going to be occasions where you do have to be quite direct in your play until the game settles down. And we did play very good football for an hour on Saturday. You know, we got to 3-0 and I felt we stepped off the gas. But again, was that due to tiredness? Was that not enough minutes in the bank? I think there was two or three got tired. And look, I have to say it now, this new rule that's come in, you know, we're not playing 90 minutes of football no more. We're playing 100, 110 minutes. I think in the Merthyr game the other day, it was a 98-minute goal. You know, this is, we've got to be looking at maybe five subs per league game because it's a lot to ask for these players. And I see so many goals go in the other day in the 100th minute. I think Harrow was 98th and 99th minute. Crazy rule that's been brought in, whether it's right or wrong. You know, I'm sure I'll be on the end of some goals going in against us and hopefully us scoring some in them minutes. But it's very tough for the players now. And if you're going to ask them to play with big intensity and, you know, part-time footballers, they've got to be concentrating now for 100 and 110 minutes. It's a madness.
With that, Lee, I'll ask both of you, with that ruling coming in there and you're seeing like maybe an extra 18 minutes, 20 minutes, does that make you sit there now and have a look, one at your substitutions, because obviously, you know, you're bringing someone on that's got a little bit longer to last, but also some of your players, like you said, maybe your older ones, your fitness, that you've got to sit there and think, well, can he do an extra 15 minutes?
I think you risk injury, Keith, if I'm honest, with some of your players. You know, I've got a couple of boys that they're covering 12, 13K every game because we do the GPS vests on them. And you've got to seriously look at, you know, they're not getting it. When you go 90 minutes and then you have extra time, it's a little bit different. You get your breathers in, you get your energy gels on, you can go again. But I think there's a risk of causing injury. I think, you know, I'd like to see if we're 1-0 up on Saturday at Paul, what might happen with minutes added on. You know, it could be a case where I'm asking the referee not to add any minutes on because we've been battered, but we'll soon find out on Saturday. But, you know, listen, if we're 1-0 up at Paul and there's another 15 minutes added on, it's going to be ever so hard to keep them out of your box and for 15 minutes. And it just, look, it doesn't feel right to me. And I want to say it now because I'll look like I'm a moaner if it happens on Saturday or happens next week or the week after. If we get beat in the 100th minute with a goal, I look like sour grapes. But I just don't think it's right. I think you risk injury. I think they were saying today on the radio that someone had in the Football League had 8 minutes in the first half and 16 minutes added on in the second half. Mm. Like, where are we going with this? You know, listen, we all moan, you know, 4 or 5 minutes added on, 6 minutes. But I think we all get to the point where we go, all right, that's fair enough. If the referee added 5 minutes on at the end for a bit of time, wasting a couple of subs, I think we're all in agreement. That's about right. But if we're looking at 10, 15, 20 minutes added on to each half, I think we've got major problems.
Somebody actually sent a question in. I wasn't 100% sure, and I was going to sort of get it confirmed. I wasn't sure if that rule was actually in sort of our level of football. But somebody actually sent in a message to me this afternoon and said, could you ask this question if it is, it, you know, in our level of football? And they basically said to me, look, football's 90 minutes. So why are the players not playing 90 minutes? Why are they only playing 50 minutes or 60 minutes because the ball's always out of play or someone's time wasting or someone's doing this and someone's doing that? And I think it was more to do with sort of like professional rather than probably our level, and basically saying, well, hang on a minute, it's 90 minutes of football. That's what they get paid to do, play 90 minutes of football. So when these people come out and say, right, they've got 14 minutes in the first half, 10 minutes in the second half, but that's what the ball's been out of play. You're actually playing 90 minutes of football. The other, although it might be 120 minutes or 110 minutes of football on the clock, 20 minutes of that, the ball hasn't been anywhere near, or there's been an injury, or there's been a sub. So they're not actually physically playing 90 minutes of football. So what is where's your thought process around? I know Lee's sort of looking at me with daggers, but going, but it's like, what is that sort of, what is that sort of scenario? Is that the case though? Because I know we're talking about injuries and all the rest of it, but they're only playing 50 minutes of football or 60 minutes of football. Why should they not be playing 90 minutes of football every week?
Well, it's just, that's the way it's always been, isn't it? When you say it's 90 minutes, hasn't it been whatever the ball in play time has been for the last 100 years or whatever it is? So players are conditioned for that and players are used to that and we all accept it. And I understand like sports like rugby where they've had issues with like scrums and it becoming a poor spectacle and they want to add, we haven't got that issue in football. So I echo Lee really. I just don't understand where this has come from because there just doesn't seem to be any need for it, you know, from my perspective. So, like, I think football's entertaining enough. I think the game is long enough. I don't think that needs to be elongated any more. Like Lee says, I think the conditioning of players, you know, is going to come into, it's going to be really difficult. Obviously, it was the first game of the season on the weekend, but we had loads, the intensity is different to pre-season. Lee's already touched on it. We had loads then, like, cramp in the last 10 minutes and struggling muscular-wise, like, how long really if we want the intensity of the game to remain the same for the full duration of the match, then we can't ask for that to go on forever and ever and ever and time every second of, unless that's what, you know, is that what we want? I don't know. Do we want it to be a science experiment and every second that the ball's out of play we have to be, you know, like the offside is, if a toenail's offside, you know, we're becoming closer and closer to that in the sport, isn't it? And how far do we want to go with that? And what's right for the players and the spectators is, I don't necessarily think it is, but that's just my perspective. I'd rather us have, like Lee says, like general, if somebody's starting to take the mic, the ref adds a little bit more on. And we know sometimes at worst, we're going to 6, 7, or 8 minutes of added time. Like ours was a little bit of an anomaly on the weekend because although it said like we had 13, 15 minutes of added time, we had a spectator taken ill in the crowd. So we'd had a little pause in the game there and he's well now. And his physios did a fantastic job from our own physio, Kevin Brainan, and Dorchester's physio to go and support that supporter who's now had the all clear. So, but that was what led to our extended minutes. But then, of course, he's given that briefing at the start of the game, the referee to both sides. We've had that long break. And then their management are then saying, well, hang on a minute, that time that you added on was basically just the time that you lost crowd and actually you didn't add enough on. So, you know, this is, for me, it's too long and there's no need for it.
I think there's a little bit of a communication thing that needs to go on. What I wouldn't mind seeing, like I said, they brought the new rule in there that about, you know, if you kick the ball away, et cetera, if you know it ain't your throw on or whatever, there's bookings, so that gets rid of that, the stoppage time for anything like that. But when it comes to injuries, I'd like to see when the referee actually, like if a physio gets called on, he stops his watch when the physio goes off, whatever amount of time he tells the players or both benches, right, I'm adding 2 minutes on for that, maybe 5 minutes on, so you know, and that is it, and that is the only time he has, you know, if you've got a 10 minute wait, you know that. Nobody knows, especially at our level, they're sort of guessing the time. But I think if you sort of know, look, you've had 2 minutes there and 2 minutes there, that's it, you get on with it. But I think that this will carry on most of the season. But the other rules that they've brought in, I think they're for the bookings, I think that will all change again by Christmas. The referees won't do it.
Yeah, you know, the
crossbar one's going to be hilarious. How many goalkeepers know about, oh, stop hanging off the crossbar? There's a booking. You know, they just do it, don't they? Because they're nuts.
Someone's just asked a quick question, Kim. It's quite funny. You know, and it was for Paul. And it's basically that they take it that you don't want any time added on the 17th of February.
What's 17th of February?
Away to Plymouth Parkway. You said if that game is a midweek game, and I haven't looked at it, I think it's a Saturday, but if it was a midweek game and it's sort of 9:45 and three sticks up, exactly, it's about it on time.
Exactly. About the journey home. It's 4 hours. We don't want to be going there for a 3 hour game of football.
But Dave, that opens up also another can of worms there. And I did see something, but some midweek games, some clubs have got a time where they can only have their lights on for. Yeah. So if you've got an extra 20 minutes, do you kick off early? Because obviously, you know, and you know, the journeys, you're adding an extra half an hour onto people having to, you know, travel hundreds of miles. It does open up a little bit more problems.
I heard on the radio today that they were saying as well that, you know, if a player goes down injured and receives treatment, he's got to be off the pitch for at least 30 seconds, and that will stop people feigning injuries. Now, where do we go with this? So I've got to be without a player for 30 seconds, but if he feigns an injury, this will stop people feigning injuries. And I'm like, where'd you go with this? You know, where are we actually going? And I had a really good chat with the referee on Saturday. He's very good. And he also spoke to me about a new rule, which I was absolutely flabbergasted with. So if you was to put a player on the pitch, yourself 12 men, scored a goal, and that player didn't have any part to play in that goal, the goal would stand. If you put a 12th man on the pitch and he had played a part in the goal would be disallowed. So, 1-0 up against Merthyr in a few weeks, I'm going to slip a 12th man on at centre half and hope the referee don't notice and nothing can happen. You know, where are we going with these rules? It's crazy, you know. It really
what happens if he scores an own goal?
There you go. What happens?
You touched on the length of the games there. We probably wouldn't be finished at Hendon until 2 o'clock in the morning. If our track records go by, we catch them right at last season, by the way.
You know, like Murphy, you know, they come to us last year on a Tuesday night and they got stuck in traffic and got to our ground at 8:20. They had to kick off at 8:30. I think Paul had about 12 players there, and full credit to them, they were outstanding on the night, and we drew, I think, in the end was 1-1. But that's what, you know, but where we go, our lights do have to be off at 10 o'clock, and Paul will tell you this, we were worried that with the residents of around the ground that it was a possibility the game was going to be called off because of the lateness of Merthyr and the traffic. You know, if we've got another 20-30 minutes added on to it, the game of football, we're not gonna finish games. You know, where is this going? Listen, a game of football is 90 minutes. We'll always have a problem if the referee adds on 4 minutes and we think there should be 7 minutes added on. But listen, when we're adding on 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'm seeing goals going after 105 minutes. So I thought there'd been bad injuries, and then find out, no, it's actually just the added on time. And look, we don't want time wasting. Of course we don't. We all play it at times, but it's I think you're opening up a massive can of worms here. I really do. And it's not right in my opinion.
Well, two more questions just been fired at me. And it comes around, I suppose, certain a decision that was made yesterday. But I mean, someone's actually asked, you know, maybe sort of more to, I suppose, to go into professional football rather than our level of football. Best VAR decision that you guys have seen? Not the worst, but the best. And are you in favour of the referees now being able to speak on a mic and inform the crowd of what is going on with the VAR decision?
Only if you look like some of the women like ones that have been on the telly, then fall for it.
So, I mean, VAR decision first. What has been your best or funniest VAR decision you've seen that, you know, has sort of made you smile or, you know, made you sort of shout out in pure joy? I mean, for me, I think it was yesterday seeing the Yanks go out of the World Cup from a VAR decision on a penalty shootout, which was strange in the first place, but it did make me shout yes when that happened because it was fantastic to see the back of them.
Yeah, I think for me that was a big one yesterday. I mean, I haven't seen loads of decisions, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I do like parts of VAR. I like the goal line technology, don't get me wrong. But yeah, for me, you know, I just think there are parts that you need in this game now, especially at the top level, because the money's so big and the reward is so big as well. I think it's so important. And guys will tell you the same thing, even at our level, you know, the decisions can make or break your job and your football club. And, you know, it's so important that the referees get it right. So to have that equipment at the highest level is spot on for me. And I like the sound of the microphones. I think it would be a good thing. I really do. I'd like to hear what referees are saying. I'd like to hear what they're saying at our level as well, to be honest with you, with some of the decisions that are made. But I think it's something that needs to come into the game. And I think it would be really good to hear from a referee who's making a crucial decision at a crucial moment of why they've come to that decision.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I can't think of a specific example on the VAR front, really. I agree with Lee. I support it. You know, it's like Lee says, it's so much at stake. You want the majority of right decisions. The frustration comes when you still don't get a right decision when you use VAR. On the mic'd up thing, I think that would be huge, actually, because I think it would educate people on the rules as well. Even us, sometimes we think, well, what have they given that for? Or, you know, and then sometimes it can be explained in such a way. And I know I used the rugby example earlier. I'm not a huge fan of rugby. When they mic'd up and everyone can hear, right, he's landed on... And the rules are quite clear as well. The rules need that clarity because they say, right, he's landed on his head, it's a red card. If he's landed on his shoulder, it's a yellow card. And everyone can hear what's happened. Whereas with us, we're like, well, what's happened? What's going on? And then the crowd get on the ref's back. Whereas if the ref was able to communicate why what the rules are, why he's making that decision, I think everybody would be, you know, a little bit wiser and a little bit happier.
I tell you what would be good though, Dave. Like, I didn't see the VAR thing yesterday. I must have been watching something like Clay Pigeon shooting on some other channel than that. But it's all right. You're looking, I'm not a lover of it. But the referee mic'd up thing. I'd like them to leave it for maybe an extra 30 seconds so you can hear the response for some of the players standing next to him as well. I think the crowd would love that. That would be extra entertainment. But yeah. I think I see a bit of one of them that they're meant to explain the decision that just went. VAR, we've looked at it and it was a penalty. They didn't explain it. They just said what VAR would have said anyway. So. But yeah, as managers, I think you do want communication. You do get the odd ref that comes over and explains, and you like that. The ones that don't, yeah. But bringing it down, obviously, to know a long lead level, yeah, it's more communication, I think.
So, I mean, just two more questions coming, really, I suppose. And the biggest one, I suppose, more towards maybe Keith and Lee, because Paul's a little bit north of where we're going to talk about now for a minute. But, someone's asked what you guys think will be the match of the weekend in the Isthmian Premier Division this weekend. I mean, I've looked at it and looking at some of these, probably Lewis against Cray, hashtag against Dulwich Hamlet. I mean, where would, I mean, the ones they are, Billericay Kingstonian, Canby Haringey, Cast Shorten Potters Bar, Chatham against Bognor, Enfield against Concord, hashtag against Dulwich, Hastings against Chesson, Horsham against Hornchurch, Lewis against Cray, Margate against Whitehawk, and Wingate and Finchley versus Folkestone and Victor. What do we reckon? Okay.
Lee, do you want to go?
No, you can go, mate.
Well, you're right about the Lewis Cray one. I watched Cray last week, and to be fair to Neil, Neil Smith, he signed some very good players. Lewis losing, obviously Joey will be tough for them, but I'm sure they'll be there or thereabouts. The Enfield Concord one, Dave, I think could be quite good. And as Lee knows, Gary's built a very strong side over at Billericay as well. So it'd be interesting, you know, how Kingstonian deal with them with Simon over there. But Dulwich coming down, they've not had the best pre-season. So, and hashtag going up, that could be a decent one.
Lee?
I'm just, to be fair, I've got a close eye on the Isthmian this year because I feel it's the hardest it's been for a long, long time. I think there's some massive clubs in it. I think, you know, speaking to Gary regularly, how tough it is. You know, when he first got the job, I thought, God, you know, they'll take some stopping. But I think there's four or five clubs in that league this year that'll take some stopping. So it's so close to call. You know, I haven't experienced what they were like, Billericay, 2-3 weeks ago. Very, very strong side. I'd be interested to see how they go. I think they'll go very, very close. But, you know, you've got Steve Morrison at Hornchurch and you've got some very experienced managers at Cray and Lewis. And that league is extremely, extremely tough this year. And I don't really see a poor side in there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out. And as I said to you at the start of the show, you know, that the whole of Step 3 at the moment is – for me, it's as strong as it's ever been. I think it's more like Step 2 was 3 or 4 years ago. And I think it's really exciting. And there's some very, very big clubs in and around it now.
Let's go through some of the Summer League ones. We've got, this is your division, guys. So AFC Totten against Salisbury, Basingstoke Town versus Hanwell Town, Beaconsfield Town versus Merthyr, Bracknell versus Didcot, Chesham United versus Hungerford, Dorchester Town versus Harrow Borough, Hayes and Yedding versus Tiverton, Plymouth Parkway against Gosport Borough, Poole versus Hendon, Sholing versus Winchester Sea, and Walton and Hersham against Swindon Supermarine in the south. In the central division this week, it is Alberchurch Sudbury, Barwell against Stratford Town, Colville versus Leamington, Kettering Town versus Stourbridge, Leeston against Telford, Long Eaton United versus Hitchin Town, Mickleover versus Berkhamsted, Needham Market versus Hal's Owen, Nuneaton versus St Ives, Redditch versus Stamford, and Royston Town versus Bromsgrove Sporting. So I suppose in your league, guys, I mean, which one are you do you see as match of the week?
Well, I'm not sure what match of the week, but did you say it was Chesham Hungerford in there? Was that one in?
Yeah.
Obviously, Hungerford had a great win on the weekend, and Chesham are always going to be there or thereabouts in our league. So that'll be interesting one to see where those two are at. I think, obviously, Lee's boys coming off a win and going to Poole's going to be a interesting one. So, yeah, you never know yet at that stage of the season, but I'd say that Chesham Hungerford one will be interesting to see what the score is come 5 o'clock. Well, maybe 6 o'clock these days.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the other games in around even at Step 4, and I think there's a game there that sticks out like a sore thumb for me, and I think it'll probably be the game of Step 4 for the weekend, and that's in the Isthmian North Division, and that's Enfield against Grays Athletic, because Enfield Town played Grays in a pre-season friendly, and to say it was, how can we put this, physical? Would probably be a little bit of an understatement, but Enfield have been absolutely flying in pre-season, and as well, I think in the FA Cup as well, with Sam Bantick's gone down there as well. I think that could be a cracking game to go and watch down at Bishop Stortford at the weekend. Would you agree, Keith?
Yeah, no, that will be a good one. I'll tell you the one in the Prem, day, which I didn't look, Hastings Chesson, I think it's going to be a really good game as well. Obviously, Chesson coming back down, Hastings are strengthened, so that could be a good one. But there's, as we just said, that in the Eastern and South East, Sevenoaks against Ramsgate with the both centre forwards could be quite a tasty one as well. But there is one other in that league that I think could be real, which would be sitting Bon Cray Valley, because Steve McKim's gone in at Cray Valley. And I think that they've strengthened really well. And obviously, Max is at sitting Bon, and they seem to have signed about 58 players. So they're going to be strong. They'll be strong.
But listen, guys, time has flown by, and really appreciate you giving up your time all the way up in sunny Wales. And if you do see the governor at the weekend, give him all the best. But a massive thank you to Paul, and of course, also a massive thank you to Lee for joining us as well, and of course as well to Keith. Next week we've actually got, and this is a show that hopefully we'll get quite a lot of people tuning in for, because I met this gentleman at the Southern League Awards show, dinner, and he said he'd come on. He said he'd come on all the way from Denmark, and he would come on Zoom and have a chat with us. And it's a gentleman called Sam Rafiq, and he works for VO. And he's going to come on and talk us all through VO, any snags you might have with your VO camera one or camera two, or any issues you may have with your VO. He's going to be with us this next week, 7 o'clock on Monday, and he will answer all your questions and go through all the snags, as well as my moan at him about no Zoom being on VO. He's going to come and come and have a chat with us next week. So that'll be an interesting show next week. Sam Rafiq from VO will come and join us next week for the show. One other big shout out for me as well, of course, is don't forget tomorrow is the deadline for all Summer League clubs at 7 o'clock tomorrow is the deadline to get your goals in for the brand new season of the Goal Show. So please make sure you get those in. And the email address is the southernfootballleague@gmail.com is where you need to send your goals into me. And the deadline is 7 o'clock. And the show, the first show of the new series, comes out on the Southern League YouTube channel at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. So make sure you tune in for that. Hopefully next week we will have Alice as well. She's, as I said at the beginning of the show, she's busy getting some good ticks in her book, doing a bit of overtime so she can go on a course at the end of the weekend. And
I see her last week, Dave.
Good form.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about a medical box. It's a pink, it's like a gigantic makeup box she come out with. So she's over there with Cray.
But she'll do a fetcher. I'll get to see her on the 26th of August when Cray visit Enfield Town. So that'll be great to see her as well. Probably, I think, for the first time face to face, I think. And so that'll be nice to see her on the 26th. But from me, from Keith, from Lee, and from Paul, thanks for watching tonight, and we'll see you next week.